wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if by my heart I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know, yeah. And I'd sing, 'cause I know, yeah. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know.
You're listening to Eats for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM and online at cooperadio.org. Outside is for everyone. It's time we acted like it. That was the title of an apology letter issued by what was then Mountain Equipment Co-op more than 6 months after being called out for using only white models to sell its products. This lack of diversity and representation of the Canadian population and MEX membership is what prompted Judith Kaziyama to speak up in 2018. She is the founder of Color the Trails, a socially conscious business advocating for inclusive representation in the outdoors, subsidizing outdoor adventures, and working to break barriers and create accessibility for BIPOC and LGBTQ2S+ people and their allies. Judith is based in Vancouver. She shares her story of activism and advocacy in this interview. Have a listen.
What prompted me, honestly, was I myself was spending a lot of times in the outdoors, but also spending a lot of money in purchasing a lot of the gear. But every time I would enter the store and I would see how advertisement worked and how, what they were selling, there wasn't that visible representation. There wasn't, you know, somebody that looked like me in any of their ads. And for me, it just kind of, it rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, I'm spending money. I am active member of, you know, I was a member of MEC. I was active in the outdoor scene. I was doing all these things, but in terms of that visual representation, to even acknowledge that there's a diversity of people that goes out and do these things was very lacking. So for me, it was just honestly calling the company accountable into how they're marketing and what kind of narrative and what kind of story they're telling in, you know, with their product. Is it reflective of how diverse our Canadian landscape is? And sadly, it was not, that wasn't the case in terms of what they were marketing and selling. So yeah, so that kind of pushed me out. And also just recognizing that there's a lot of different people within Canada who do all these different outdoor activities. and their story and their experiences, it was not reflective at a brand that is, you know, that we're all shopping in as Canadians. So, yeah.
And what was the response from MEC? Did you get somebody to listen, and were there changes made?
Yeah. So it's actually interesting that you bring it up. Like, yes, I think like in some way, you know, the CEO letter came out, MEC was like, yes, we're doing all these things to highlight and improve because they haven't in the past. And there was a few campaigns, you know, for diversity and inclusion. But for me, as somebody who was working closely with them, I ended up being their ambassador for 2 years. As somebody who was working closely with them, it was, I personally felt it was very tokenistic. It was very much like showing us here in Canada, like, hey, we're doing this great things, but there was nothing to back it up behind the scene. In my 2 years working closely with MEC, there was very little support for Color the Trails, even though they knew that what I was doing was to bring other people in the outdoors. There was never any financial support or anything to kind of help me get moving forward. So for me, honestly, it was all talk, but there was really no concrete action being done behind the scene for those 2 years.
We know that it was likely around the time that MEC, which is a whole other story, you know, was on its way to bankruptcy and one thing and another. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was quite chaotic there. But out of that came the opportunity for you to raise mm-hmm. public awareness and begin the work of addressing the core issue, which is not only seen BIPOC individuals represented in advertising. It sounds like you really wanted to get people outdoors and feel that they have a place to participate in the wonderful landscapes that are Canada. And mm-hmm. what does it do to a person if they don't see themselves reflected in those settings? Does it make them less likely to want to take those steps? Because we are talking, in some cases, with outdoor activities, a certain amount of risk taking. There's mm-hmm. a lot of learning. There's knowledge. You need support. But if you don't see yourself represented there, it must be discouraging. Why don't you tell us a bit about that experience and then what prompted you to try and make a difference with Color the Trails?
Yeah, I honestly, it is very discouraging because even when I was, you know, beginning my outdoor journey, I didn't really see a lot of people that looked like me in that space. So I was hanging out mostly with all my white friends, doing things with them, but I wasn't seeing that. And I was always felt like I had to also kind of code switch or like act a certain way within that white space.
Sorry, can you say more about that? You called it code switch?
Code switching. Yeah. So it's
tell us what that's, how you do that and what that, why you do that and what yeah. that looks like.
Code switching is a terminology that is used to basically talk about how folks change their behavior based on the different environment they're in. So, you know, for somebody who is Black, how I interact with my Black friends might be very different how I interact with in an all-white space because, like, you know, whether it's the joke or the mannerism may not translate well within a white space. So code switching is just a way people move around the world. You know, as women also, we experience code switching to some extent in terms, you know, when you're not all white, you know, when you're in all male dominated space, how you right. behave is very different than when you're in all female dominated space. So that's what code switching is. And yeah, so for me, I just began to realize that there's definitely a knowledge gap. As a child, my family are refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo. My mom is a single mom, so never really having the opportunity to access nature in the same capacity as most people, I would say, most of my friends who are born and raised here in Vancouver had access nature, had access skiing or all these different activity where they have that knowledge from a young age that's been passed down to them. Whereas I was entering this space without the lack of knowledge. So not having that representation and constantly feeling I was the only one, led me to kind of questions like, well, is this like a space for me, you know? Or even like, you know, people being like, well, you enjoy skiing or you enjoy hiking, but that's like a white people thing, because like for so long, they hasn't shown like the diversity within those spaces. So like, even within my own community, there's almost like a stereotype that we take on because we think like, oh, that space is never designed for us. Therefore, why are you doing it? And therefore, like, you know, are you trying to be more white? When in reality, it's like, no, this is my own interest. I love this. And I just wanted to kind of share that knowledge that I was gaining with other people. And that's why Color the Trails came to be, was to create this safe space where people can come who are older, who may be new to Canada, but are interested in going outside, doing these things, but then creating a low barrier to entry where people can come, learn, try all these activities, and then be able to find a community within those activities. And Color the Trails is basically kind of a base for a lot of people to come and connect, learn new things, but also meet new people that they can, again, create that friendship, that relationship outside of Color the Trails, but just kind of use it as a meaning point. And so the reason why I formed it was because I wanted to bridge that knowledge gap. I wanted to give people the opportunity to try skiing, to try mountain biking, to try kayaking, and also feel and do it as a collective. That way you're not feeling othered. That way you're not feeling like you're the only one in that space. And then acquiring those like knowledge and those safety tips so that, you know, next time you go out, you can invite a friend, but because you already have the knowledge and you can share that knowledge to a friend or to a family member and just kind of spark interest. And people are so receptive of that because for so long, you know, I get messages like, wow, I've only felt like I was the only one. It's so nice to be in the community with people who look like me, who are enjoying these things. And now I don't have to justify with, you know, with my family why I'm doing this, because like there's like, you know, there's a bunch of people that, you know, they see that, you know, this interest goes beyond just like, you know, it's not like a white person thing, but it's like, there's a lot of diversity in terms of people from different part of the world are enjoying nature. And it's also like a healing process, right? For me, nature has been a way of healing, a way of just like calming myself in this, you know, with the pandemic and everything. It just kind of elevated and be like, wow, this is what we need in terms of a community setting. And representation is so important because like those stories just like kind of allows us to enter a space or to enter somebody's lived experience that we have no knowledge of or have never experienced. And I think, you know, if we read those things or see that, we just take a moment to just kind of pause and be like, wow, I've never thought of it that way. This is how we kind of grow as a culture, as a society. And it's not always that way, because even with the Global Mail post, like the amount of racist comments that were on those on Facebook or Instagram or even on their website, just continue to showcase that people still don't understand how, you know, just because something is accessed to you doesn't mean it's accessible to other people. And that's, I think, it's a moment we need to kind of stop and reflect. You know, just because I have a car doesn't mean every other person has a car or every other person has the ability to get a license. There's just like, there's this notion of intersectionality, which is like, you know, the place where our lived experience intersects, whether we're women, we're queer, you know, we're Indigenous, all these things intersects into how we show up and how we react into the world. And yeah, so that's how kind of like Color the Trails is here, basically to bridge that gap and to create opportunity for people, because people are there doing these things, but as we're coming together as a collective, they're finding it a lot easier. It's like almost like a huge load has been lifted because now they can be their full self without having to control or pretend to be a certain way, but also being safe in a sense that they don't have to deal with some of the racist comments that they hear from their friends, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Or we work closely with guides and making sure that the guides that we're working with have done some kind of anti-racist training so that, you know, they don't have to experience some of the experiences I've had with some guides who can say very things that's very racist, very, you know, exclusionary. So there's just like all those different things.
What are the mechanisms for joining? Let's say a person wants to join you on a hiking adventure or an introduction to kayaking. Yeah. How does it work?
Usually, just because of the pandemic and sometimes having limited space. So on Color the Trails, we have membership. There are people who join our members. So you can be a BIPOC member or an ally member. Those who are BIPOC get kind of, the BIPOC members, when we host our events, they get kind of dibs on the, you know, first round. We kind of keep it private for them to register if they're interested. And then the next day we just open it up to the rest of BIPOC in the community. So we just advertise a lot on social media. We have a private Facebook group, and then people just kind of share that information in a lot of different spaces. And then people just register and show up. And everything is most of the time subsidized. So honestly, all you have to do, we organize everything. We connect with the guide, just making sure that, you know, if you're coming to intro, for example, we did like an intro to ice climbing. People register for that, but they're getting all of the gear, and then they're getting the private lessons. So we're getting like AS certified guides who are teaching us about, you know, how to tie a rope, how to belay people, like how to read the rock, the ice, how they set up everything. So it's just like that knowledge. And then if people are very much interested in those activities, they're like, wow, ice climbing is my sport. I want to do this. Then we begin to kind of work out and try to figure out how do we create a mentorship program where we're connecting people with ice climbers and creating a program and helping them access gear and all that so that they can pursue that sport and pursue that activity as like their passion, as their interest. And so far we're finding that that's just what people need. Like people just need to be given an opportunity and be able to be given the knowledge, and then how they use that knowledge is just like so beautiful. So
it's wonderful that you are able to subsidize, because these events, some of them cost money, like renting kayaks, for example. Mm-hmm. If you go to Deep Cove or a guide for a sailing trip. I saw there was a sailing trip to Princess Louisa Inlet. That looked amazing. How are you able to subsidize if you're not always charging a membership fee? Where do the funds come from, and for gear and one thing and another?
So we have a lot of a way in which we're gaining profit. It kind of varies. So we have the membership, but we also create a lot of content for a lot of different brands. So a lot of Color the Trail. So what we do is we work with a brand and we hire people within our community, kind of like an agency in a way. We hire people within the community to be able to go and take photos or videos for these brands. And then they compensate Color the Trails for that time and energy. That's how we're able to kind of compensate, do that. And oftentimes some of the brands sponsor our events. So if they give us X amount of money, we kind of put that towards subsidizing all of the events. And then also with Deep Cove, we've created a relationship partnership for the past like 2 years. So this allows us for them to give us some discounts, like a group discount, as we're bringing business to them. So we're trying to also partner up with local businesses and be like, hey, if you work and like help us subsidize this cost, you actually having an opportunity for a huge diverse group of people who will come back. Because like with Deep Cove, now that we've done a lot of events with them, a lot of our members go back and rent a kayak or rent a stand up paddleboarding with their friends, with their family, and do that. So it's like, it's a reciprocal relationship that we're working with a lot of these brands and organizations to really support our initiative and also like help subsidize, because it's like by subsidizing that it allows people to like try something and figure out if they like it or not. And then if they like it, people invest full on, like they want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because as we said at the beginning, you know, you were shopping at MEC, the former MEC, a person could spend quite a bit on outdoor gear if, you know, if they get into a particular activity. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the arrangement you have to provide services to certain brands, you said, and that brings in, you're helping those brands, I guess, like you would have helped Mecca to show that they're more representative, that they're more diverse and inclusive. So it's mostly communications work and that, and advertising, and just to become more sensitive and aware in their literature, things like marketing. That's great.
Yeah. That's how we're working. And we're finding that's like a really great strategy in terms of us being able to be sustainable and bringing in funding, but also partnering. And we're also very selective in terms of which brand we're working with and how much work are they willing to do. Because with each brand, I tell them, I'm not interested on a one-off kind of thing. I'm interested in us working together so that 5 years we look back, we're like, wow, this is what we've accomplished together. Because I think there's almost this notion of when it comes to diversity and inclusion, we need to fix it now. And like, we need to solve it now. And for me, I don't think we're going to solve anything now. It's going to take some time and it's going to take a lot of reconstruction, building up, tearing down and figuring things out. So that's how we're working, as well as continuously working to just like working with them to even make, you know, even like their marketing to be more realistic in terms of, instead of hiring models, why aren't you hiring people who are actually doing those activities, people who are actually investing in those gear? So like hiring people with, like, you know, they'll hire us and then we'll hire people within our own community to showcase, because there's so much talent even within our own community, so that we can be able to show those imagery. And hopefully, our hope is, like, you know, with more diverse imagery out there, the better.
I'm sure that you don't want it to become a situation where it is just tokenism, right?
Yeah.
With a brand that has a, you know, a campaign that shows diversity, you know, once or twice a year or something like that. Can you name some of the brands that you're working with that are receptive?
Yeah, no, I think with my experience with MEC and how tokenistic it was, I don't want to repeat that mistake. I think it was a learning opportunity, and what you think is you learn and then you grow from that experience. So we've been working closely with Arc'teryx Vancouver. They've been very supportive of us for the past 2 years. So that's been really great. We've also worked with an American company, Backcountry, and they've been really, really supportive and just like amazing to work with. So working with Backcountry, as well as Live/Giant Bikes. So we're working with them with our mom biking program that we offer, mentorship program that we offer. So they've been really great in terms of supporting us. And then local business like Essential Cycles out of North Vancouver, who's one of our bigger supporter when it comes to mountain biking. So they're like, we're continuously partnering up together, as well as like United Strangers Coffee, who's been supporting us since the beginning in North Vancouver as well. So those are just some of like the business. We're trying to also work with a lot of local businesses here in Vancouver area to kind of, you know, continue to support this initiative that we're doing.
You know, I was wondering about what you hear from participants after they've perhaps had their first experience in the outdoors, in community, with other people that look like them or have similar experiences, let's say, as a newcomer to Canada or a refugee. Tell us about some of those stories, because it must touch your heart so deeply to see the realization of your dream actually happening. What are some of the people saying?
Oh, wow. I get a lot of amazing reaction. People are just very grateful for making it very accessible for them to try, at least, you know. So a lot of people, they're like, this is so accessible. And I would have never thought I can do this. And now being presented with the opportunity, they're like, wow, they're just like, there's a great sense of gratitude. And also there's a great sense of confidence. Like a lot of people, like Our mountain biking mentorship program is our most, our most successful program that we're building. And so, you know, we host, you know, a big intro to mountain biking. And then from there, we create a mentorship application where people apply. And then if they're selected, they're paired with an experienced rider in the North Shore where they can go riding. Yeah, people just feel like extremely grateful because they're like, I've always wanted to do this sport, but I didn't even know where to begin or how to even get started. And Cow the Trails has done all the hard work to just make it easy for me to go through. So there's just like that deep appreciation. And also like people not, you know, there are people who grew up in Vancouver and they're like, I've lived here my whole life. And this is the first time I'm going kayaking. I didn't know it was accessible to me. This is the first time I'm going stand up paddleboarding because it just never occurred to me. Or when we did our intro to mountain biking, there's somebody who was really struggling with anxiety and like doesn't do well with being in social setting. And even prior to coming to the event, they're in their car having a little like a panic attack. But then they showed up and they said it was one of the best experiences that they had. Everybody was just super supportive. And I think the great thing about it is it's really hard to learn a new sport or a new skill as an adult.
Yes.
There's a sense of embarrassment or you're a little bit of a shame. You don't want to try things. But with Cow the Trails, when people come, we're all coming together. We're all experiencing the same thing. We're all falling. We're all laughing. So there's a sense of like mutual support that you're not coming and experiencing kind of an experience where you feel intimidated, right? You feel like, oh, this is not a space. You're too shy to try things. But rather you're coming in a space where everybody's supporting you and everybody wanting you to excel. So it just like allows people to put their guard down and be able to formulate friendship and relationship that is deep in a deeper level. And that's just like, that is just what I wanted to build, just create that safe space for people. And it's just really cool to see it come to life because, you know, 5 years ago as I was trying and not a lot of people were open to the idea and to see it now as just like, it's, you know, it shows like there's a lot of work to be done, but it's also exhausting work as you, and it's just like a lot of work.
you're really, you know, on the education side and the social side, many of your activities are the first time, like there, it's an introduction to mountain biking. It's an introduction to kayaking. It's an introduction to rock climbing. And, but you're doing that in a space with people, I'm going to quote you here, where hopefully people aren't worried about code switching, right?
Mm-hmm,
it takes away that whole level of anxiety and not fitting in. And then you can really concentrate on the activity and you're meeting new people. And then, as you say, perhaps going on to enjoy that activity further through a mentorship or investing in gear or whatever. Before I let you go, I noticed on your website that you have activities not only in BC, but also Alberta. How do you coordinate to do things in Alberta, which is also a wonderful paradise for the outdoors?
Yeah, I have a leader there. So there's an amazing individual who is in the outdoors doing a lot of hiking and stuff. We're connected. And Zara is leading that. So she leads, she's like our Alberta chapter leader. So we're in constant communication, organizing, planning events with her. And so that's how kind of our Alberta chapter is running. And they've done some amazing things this summer. I was kind of jealous. I was like, I couldn't join them for some of them. So maybe next summer I'll join just because my schedule itself was so busy. But, you know, we're doing the same thing as we're doing here in BC, whether, you know, they're doing a lot of hiking events. They did a backpacking event. They did a glacier ice walk and we brought on like with an indigenous guide who basically gave us, you know, the first people's history of Jasper. So that was really cool. And then they did an overnight hut, brew hut, just camping trip, which was really cool. And what's even more beautiful is like in Alberta, we're seeing, you know, there's a woman there with her two children who are coming to all these events, enjoying those events. And they're like, you know, they're like 4 and 3. So they're just like, just enjoying their time.
Soaking it up, loving it.
Yeah. And for us, that's what we want to build. We want to build it so that the next generation feel like this is also their space, but also understanding the history of the land that we're creating on and their indigenous relationship and how we're constantly reconciling and working towards reconciliation, which is like a huge important aspect of Color the Trail. So that's how we're kind of like operating into spaces. And then we're hoping to also bring on Ontario as well, because there's a huge need out there as well.
That was Judith Kaziyama, founder of Color the Trails. For more information or to learn about the various upcoming adventures, go to colorthetrails.com. That's it for this edition of Each for All. Thanks to my fellow cooperator, Joshua Peterman, for putting all the pieces together. I'm Sandy Goldman. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a cooperative week.
Fire. I felt embers down my spine. And I said, world, would you please have some mercy on me? Or could you please lift a curse that's on me? I said, you always did. Like at the hard way since you was a kid. Look at the scars on your legs. You keep choosing the wild road. Ooh, I'm not sorry. Stay sick cause I follow my gut. They say I was pushing my luck. Now I'ma push me a matte all black truck. Oh, I'm not sorry. They sit cause I follow my gut. They say I was pushing my luck. Now I'ma push me a all black truck. Now I'ma push me a all black truck. Push me, I'm at all. I've been through the storm. I've heard thunder in my heart. And I've said, world, would you please shine a light upon me? Or would you show me a sign you love me? I said, you always did. Like at the hard way since you was a kid. Stay sick cause I follow my gut. They say I was pushing my luck. Now I'ma push me a matte all black truck. Oh, I'm not sorry. Stay sick cause I follow my gut. They say I was pushing my luck. Now I'ma push me a all black truck. Push me a all black truck. I'ma push me a matte all black truck. Stay sick cause I follow my gut. They say I was pushing my luck. Now I'ma push me a matte all black truck.